Today on Dog Pound Report, we hear from the Browns position coaches as the team wraps up the OTAs. We go in depth with Andy Lee, the team's newest punter, and we tell you which Browns player is starting a new clothing line for a good cause. This is Dog Pound Report.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Dog Pound Report. I'm Mike Cairns, back in again this week, filling in for Andy Baskin. He's out in Oakland for Game 5, but joining me, you know this fella, Nathan Zagura. And yes, it's June, but we are already knee-deep in football out in Berea, and it's going to ramp up from here.
Oh, it's a great time, and it's great to be with you, Mike. We've got the mandatory minicamp starting this week coming up on Tuesday. We've got Game 5 tonight for the Cavaliers, so it's a good time to be a Cleveland sports fan.
We're a little busy, aren't we?
We are a little busy. It's good.
And let's get right into it. Speaking busy, let's get right into this week's trending topics. This was the final week for OTAs, as Nathan mentioned, here in Cleveland, and, man, it was a busy few weeks for the Cleveland Browns.
It certainly was. This was a time to implement everything offensively and defensively. I'd say the defense certainly right now ahead of the offense. It's their second year in the system. The offense installing everything, but they think they're going to have it all installed. So when they get to that mandatory minicamp, they can start finding out that identity. What are our core plays that we can run and run effectively?
What do you learn from the 3 weeks that they've just spent out there in Berea with a lot of the rookies?
You're starting to just kind of get a feel for where everybody fits in, how quickly they can learn, how quickly they can assimilate into things. And the rookies have shown to be pretty quick studies. A lot of the coaches talked about that when we spoke with those position coaches. So these 3 weeks, and it's also about camaraderie, getting everybody together. And you see Dante Whitner out there being that vocal leader, talking trash to the offense, talking trash all day long. Jim O'Neill's talking some trash. But then the offense, when they have their plays, they talk back. So it's kind of been fun to see. I would say this is a more confident, more loose, more cohesive group than I saw just 1 year ago.
All right, we got a jam-packed show for you. This week, got a chance to speak with the offensive and defensive position coaches to ask who they thought shined during these practices. First off, Joker Phillips, the wide receivers coach.
If you ask anybody in the group who's the leader right now, is that would be Hawkins. Hawkins is a guy that's been around for a while, and Dwayne Bowe's also taking some of that on himself also. So, I mean, the thing you have some really good older guys and veteran guys that have experience, and then you get a really good group of young guys that, again, they understand how to listen, how to take constructive criticism, and then they do a really good job of that. Did I just mention Dwayne Bowe?
Yeah,
we talked him up, huh?
Great stuff. You mentioned Bowe and Hawkins, but couldn't you see a little bit of Hawkins' leadership start to come through last year with the young wide receiving core?
Absolutely. He is a pro's pro. And what you've seen so far from him, a guy who comes out, runs every route at 110% in practice. He's looked very good creating separation, and he's moving back more into his natural position in the slot. Dwayne Bowe's shown that big body, the ability to go up there, high point the football, back shoulder fades, red zone play, something that the team didn't really have last year. But I'm going to tell you, as you see him making a catch right there, Taylor Gabriel right now is the best receiver on the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
He is consistently beating everybody who lines up against him at cornerback. And from talking to some of the coaches, they say that's the one guy the corners don't want to have a lot of film against because he is just able to separate. Wilbur Montgomery said he reminds him of Oz Hakeem, who was really the straw that stirred the drink in The Greatest Show on Turf.
Wow. What does that do for the competition? How much does that stir the competition when you see a young guy like that learning a system like the Browns are putting in place now, standing out this early?
It's good because he's building on what he did as a rookie. 17.1 yards a catch, was third in the NFL, made big plays. He's showing now the ability to have that complete route tree, and he gets open. And that's a good thing, getting separation, key to being a receiver in this league. But you look at this group all of a sudden, and you went from last year where you started off with Miles Austin as your one, yep, Hawkins as your two. You didn't even know who your three was. This year, you've got Dwayne Bowe at one, Hartline at two, Hawkins at three. Taylor Gabriel's going to push to be one of those one or two, I think, as this season goes on. You drafted Vince Maley, who right now is still in the red, no contact, but has that big size, physical, kind of like an Anquan Boldin. This is a good wide receiver group, and trying to figure out who's going to be that sixth receiver, whether it's a special teams guy like Marlon Moore or Rodney Smith, who's 6'5", who's looked good, is going to be a big challenge for Ray Farmer.
It's hard not to get fired up, and we're not even in a training camp yet.
Oh, I can get you fired up. Let's
He's
go.
Already doing it.
Let's go.
Let's head to the defensive side of the ball. We had a chance to talk to Brian Fleury and Jeff Hafley about who stood out to them.
I'm really pleased with where Paul is. You know, there's always the concern that someone coming off a year where they have career numbers and production is going to have a little bit of a letdown or, you know, have a little bit of a hangover, so to speak. And he came out and really attacked the offseason. So I'm really proud of the development he's made so far.
Poyer's done a good job. I think he's really embraced his role right now as the starter. Obviously, it's been him and Dante taking reps with the ones. He's learned the defense. He's taken it to another level. If you just listen to him out here, his communication's outstanding.
Yeah.
Putting guys in the right position, his effort, just the passion. You watch him. He defines what it should look like to play like a Brown. And I think he's going to be a big contributor for us. I'm excited about him.
What is it about Poyer to you that you think made him stand out?
Instincts, football smarts. He knows how to decipher route combinations. He knows where to be. Had an interception in the red zone last week. Did a great job against Josh McCown. He just knows where to be. And I think he's worked very well with Dante Whitner on that back end. And you haven't noticed really a drop-off in that secondary. Now, the good news is Tashawn Gibson has signed his tender, and he will be there for the mandatory minicamp. It's great news. But it also shows that Jordan Poyer was able to go through these OTAs, get those first-team reps, so that if he has to be pressed into service, you know what you have there. And you're going to see some three safety sets. They did it last year. You're going to see it again this year. And Poyer's also going to be able to play some big nickel if a team has a big slot receiver. So I like what I see. Again, may not be the biggest or fastest guy, but when you know and can anticipate, you're fast because you're playing fast. And that's what Jordan Poyer does.
And speaking of Jordan Poyer, this is more from him, especially after his weeks at the OTAs.
I feel like I'm learning more and more with this defense every day. I think coming in my second year in this defense and with these coaches has helped a lot. You know, watching a lot of tape, Wiz helped me out a lot. I feel pretty good right now. Like I said, still learning more and more every day.
All right. This is a guy that's climbing the charts as we speak. And you got to have depth in this league.
Yeah, you got to have depth in it, and it's good. Again, when Gip was out, he stepped right in there. You didn't notice it. Gip will be back tightening that tender. So they're going to be at full strength in an already very deep secondary that was last year number one in completion percentage allowed, number one in quarterback rating allowed, number one in passes defense. And now you have another guy that you feel comfortable with. It's just a good thing, and it gives flexibility to Jeff Hafley, the secondary coach, and also Jim O'Neill, the defensive coordinator.
And we talk about respect and you talk about veterans. I think everybody saw what LeBron did this week. Jim Brown, courtside, the bow to Jim Brown, and how much LeBron means to Jim Brown and how much Jim Brown means to LeBron.
Yeah, it's one of those great moments, and Jim Brown called it one of his favorite moments in sports. And it's one of those things gives you chills, and you can see Jim Brown was kind of like, man. You don't get that kind of reaction too often from him, as you see there when LeBron gave the bow. Just a great moment to Cleveland kind of institutions and icons paying respect. And certainly, hey, maybe we need to get him out in Oakland and get a bow going before game five so we can get another W here for these Cavaliers tonight.
Just the mutual respect between the two guys. And LeBron's been called the new Jim Brown, and just sports figure-wise. Nothing to do with where they played. But Jim Brown has been a guy that's defended LeBron since LeBron was a freshman at St. V. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jim Brown, many consider to be the greatest of all time. LeBron James trying to cement that legacy to surpass Michael Jordan to be the greatest of all time in his sport. So it's pretty amazing that two of those guys actually have played the majority of their careers here in Cleveland.
Well, we know Jim Brown is the greatest of all time. We don't even have to think. We know.
That's
Jim
right.
Brown is
absolutely
the greatest athlete of all time. Stick around. Much more to come. Coming up.
After the break, Dog Pound Report gets an extensive look at Pro Bowl punter Andy Lee. And later we'll talk about the other Cleveland team and their quest for the NBA title.
Welcome back, Dog Pound. Joining us now, Browns head writer Andrew Gribble. And Gribbs, I understand you had a chance to spend some time with Andy Lee, the Browns' newest Browns player, and the first of its kind, this trade, in the last 10 years in the National Football League. Mike Pettine asked to describe him as a boomer. Your impressions?
Well, you know, we saw that firsthand in practice on Thursday. He was just kicking the junk out of the ball. I mean, it was just going far and away, and the returners were asking him to move back onto a different part of the field so they had room to catch it. I mean, this guy's got a big leg. You know, the Browns really like Spencer Lanning, but this was an opportunity for them to go from a top 20 punter to a top 10 punter, and I think Andy Lee gives him that. He's a veteran, and I think he's ready for a fresh start. You know, he was in San Francisco for a 11 seasons. That's a long time for anyone in the NFL to be anywhere, but they drafted a punter. The writing was kind of on the wall, so he was ready for this fresh start, and the Browns are willing to give it to him, and he's pretty happy about being here.
Yeah, he's fairly well compensated as a punter. So what it tells you is this is a team that's going to be built on defense. We know that they're going to run the ball. But now what they have is a weapon to change field position. When you look back to those 49er teams that he played on, he was a valuable weapon because when you change field position, maybe you only need one first down to get in scoring range when you can pin him deep. He still averaged about 47 gross yards per punt last year, top seven in the NFL. This is a three-time Pro Bowler, four-time All-Pro. And as you said on Thursday, I've never seen anything like the way that he was kicking that ball. It was crazy.
And he's used to these crazy, windy conditions being in San Francisco. Sure. Also, he's got a little insight from Phil Dawson. He's given him the lay of the land where he feels pretty comfortable. He kicked in college at Pittsburgh. You know, this is more of a comfortable fit than maybe it appeared on the surface.
You also had a chance to talk to him about his number change, and let's hear what he had to say about that.
I chose the number 8 because on January 27th, me and my wife had our third child, a girl, and she got sick. And she got a infection, and she died. So she lived for 8 days. So I would like to wear that number in her honor. So that's the reason I switched to 8, which is a good way for me to honor my daughter. Her name was Madeline, and it was awesome. And so I feel like turning over a new leaf here and honoring her with that number is the best thing I can do. So that's why I chose that number.
Wow, a very emotional response, and as you would expect, to the number change. But I didn't see that coming.
No, powerful stuff. And this is a guy I got to spend a lot of time with him. He's on Browns Daily with us this week, and it ended up being about a half-hour segment, which is the longest we've had anybody. Just a very engaging, very real guy. He said, I just want to play football. I just want to be with my family and play golf when I can. But so he's got his priorities, and you could just tell how important it was to him to make this change.
Yeah, just a real down-to-earth guy. And yeah. just the situation he's been able to find. The good nitty obviously acknowledges the bad that comes with this, but you know, he's a family man, has two boys again, and he's going to be even closer to them now. You know, they were in Charlotte while he was in San Francisco. That's a quick flight out of Cleveland Hopkins right now. So again, he's feeling comfortable in a Brown special teams room that looks a lot different right now.
It certainly does.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a safe trip, a fast trip out of Cleveland Hopkins. You got to wonder where you're going to go for that, but. You're traveling again this week. Where you been? I mean, you're always got something on the burner. What you got going out?
Guy's prolific.
Well, he's all over the place.
You know, earlier this week, me and Jeff, one of our video guys, we were in Birmingham, Alabama, watching Game 3 of the Cavs and Warriors and really enjoying that. But earlier in the day, you know, we were working on a very long, detailed piece on Samuel Dansby and Carlos Dansby, the relationship they have as a father and a son. We drove all over Birmingham, really getting to know what kind of environment that Carlos grew up in and how much his father meant to him. It's one in a series of stories that we really kind of dug into this offseason and found time to kind of tell stories that really haven't been told all that much about some of the Browns' best players.
What was kind of the most interesting part of that experience for you?
I mean, the thing is, just being around Samuel Dansby he's clearly Carlos's dad. I mean, just the way they can just carry room, just the turn of phrase. It was just so good to be around him in his church over in Collegeville, Alabama, which is part of Birmingham. And he's just a man about the community, and that's what Carlos has been since he's been with the Browns.
What do you got coming up on ClevelandBrowns.com?
Well, you know, it's just been a busy week, weekend of OTA coverage, and then this week is a big one with mini camp coverage. We're banking stories for July when things get a little slow, so we're talking to a lot of players, but we're also providing up-to-the-minute details on everything that happens on the practice field.
And we get Danny Shelton back.
Yeah, you know, it's a big big week of practice for him. You know, he couldn't be here for OTAs because he was taking care of business, graduating. So, you know, he's excited. I think Browns coaches are definitely excited to see him, get him in the mix and get him up to speed. But as Mike Pettine said, by training camp, his absence is going to be an afterthought.
The man who has more frequent flyer miles than anybody I know. Right there, Andrew Gribble. Gribbs, thanks. Good stuff,
no
as always. Stay tuned. Much more to come on the Dog Pound Report after this timeout.
Coming up next, will the Cleveland Cavaliers wrap up the finals with a championship? Plus our weekly predictions.
Now, welcome back to the Dog Pound Report. We're joined by former Ohio State star, former NBA star, Brad Sellers. No, he's not here to break down the Browns' defense this year. No, he's actually here to talk a little Cavaliers. Mike Pettine this week was asked about Matthew Dellavedova, who's become the huge star all over the country, and asked him what kind of a strong safety he would be. And he said 6'4", 200. I think he'd play more down on the ball this week.
He's got to get up close.
He's a big guy. He's a big guy. So we're going to get Brad's take. Obviously, now they're going back to Oakland, Game 5. Changes for Game 5, are we going to see more than seven guys in the lineup? That was the huge factor in Game 4.
Well, there's no question about it. And going into Game 5, you know that we have to mix it up. I mean, we cannot play the same way that we played in the first three games. The problem is that if you play seven and they're running 10 or 11 at you all the time, it's going to ultimately wear you down. And so I'm expecting a major change in the philosophy today.
Seems like their role players stepped up in Game 4. Our role players did not. What do Cavs have to do to get J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert going?
Well, you know, you've got to change up the philosophy. So here's the story. So you've got to get guys going. You need J.R. Smith's production. And so you've been bringing him off the bench in this timeline, and it has been in very limited production results. And so now you might have to mix it up. You know, you may see J.R. in the lineup. You may not. You may see him gone two more often than it is. We've got to find a way to keep this team fresh and alive. And when it's not alive, I think you get the results that we got the other night.
All right, so we know that the Warriors have shown all their cards. We had a chance to talk a little bit about this before we got on the set. They started Andre Iguodala, and that was his first start of the season.
Right.
Does David Blatt have cards left that he can play that the Warriors haven't seen and throws a little bit of a wrinkle into this series?
Well, we absolutely do. I think Golden State has showed you their entire repertoire. They have no more that they can go to. You know their entire story. For us, we've got other additional weapons that we have not used. Mike Miller, Sean Marion, Kendrick Perkins. So they are valuable entities because they have been at this level before. This is not a new type of game from the championship series. It's not new to them. We've got to find a way to extend our ability to play. And in doing that, you're going to have to use additional people. And you just can't continue to show the same hand that we showed the other night. And I think that was probably some of the lesson that we learned that night.
When you're relying on guys like James Jones and Matthew Dellavedova at this point in the season, and Matthew Dellavedova kind of came out of nowhere, he was a sensation. But now there's a seven-game series, they can study him. Can he bounce back after he struggled last week, or do the Warriors kind of have the book on him at this point?
Well, here, he can bounce back. The issue is just what you said. We have tape on you now. And so we know some of the things that you want to do. So now we have to sprinkle in other things and change it up just a bit to allow you to have some success. Some of the things we can do, we can change the defensive philosophy. One of the things I want to see this team do is come out and really start chucking people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start running off screens, I'm gonna put some body on you.
Yeah.
It's like the Browns. I'm not going to let you keep running to the place you want to run. And these are the things that Golden State has no idea how we're going to come at them. That's the one weapon that you have. Because at this point, you're just trying to steal a game. You're just trying to steal one game, not three, just one.
Yep.
As a former pro, and you hear this all the time, oh, LeBron had a bad game. Did he really? He had a triple-double almost. He was assist shy of a triple-double. He's had a phenomenal series. You're not going to get that kind of LeBron again. And everyone's like, oh, Iguodala shut him down. I think it was more LeBron was off a little bit than it was in shutdown. I mean, come on, tell us what we're missing in this.
So, you know, I call for the Cavaliers. And so the thing that we have noticed over the course of this entire season is that when LeBron has had an off game, the very next game has been a major performance.
Oh, yes.
And so, and then you trickle in the fact that when he has an extra day of rest, it has been a major production here. And so I really personally am expecting tonight for him to have some phenomenal output. But not just him. I'm really looking for JR to get uncorked.
He's got to.
And I know in my conversations with the guys on this team, Sean Marion, Mike Miller, and Kendrick are salivating to get in this
healthy
game.
Healthy and ready to go.
Get in this game.
Brad
exactly.
Sellers, thank you for breaking it down. Appreciate it. I hope you're right. This guy's as confident. The two, all three of us on the set, he's like, they're going to win.
I like it. Let's do it.
Thanks, Brad, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Much more to come on the Dog Pound Report after this timeout.
When we return, we bring you our social post of the week and look into the future with our weekly predictions.
Welcome back to the Dog Pound Report. This week's social post of the week comes from Isaiah Crowell's Facebook as he announces his new line of Feed the Crow t-shirts.
I love it.
I knew it was coming. I knew it. In the post, he thanks the fans for supporting him. And the best part, 20% of every shirt sold is going to the Greater Cleveland Food Bank. That means 20 meals per shirt.
Look at that. That's a fine-looking piece of gear. I'm certainly going to get one of those. Feed the Crow, that's what I've been saying. He's been looking great in the OTAs. Wilbur Montgomery saying he's so far ahead of where he was a year ago. So much more comfortable in his tracks, getting through the hole, finishing his runs. I'm expecting big things, and those are great shirts. Feed the Crow, it's a great slogan. This is a team that is going to run the football. I think Crow's got a chance to have a monster season there. Terrence West is going to get some love, and, of course, Duke Johnson's going to be that kind of change of pace, Giovanni Bernard type. But Feed the Crow, check it out. It's for a great cause. It's a nice-looking T-shirt for a fine young man.
Very nice T-shirt. And you got a call out of him. We got a caw, so we're good. Yeah. That's all we needed to hear this morning. It's prediction time. Your prediction this week.
The Cavs are going into Oakland, where I grew up. They're going to beat the Warriors.
Uh-oh.
They're going to come back here, and then they're going to finish the deal on Tuesday, because this story for LeBron James to become the greatest ever, no Kyrie, no Kevin Love, it's got to culminate with a win in Cleveland for this city, a celebration like we have never seen.
When was the last time you were back home?
It's been about a year.
Let's make it a little longer. Okay.
Yeah. I actually got to go back for my dad's wedding. I'll be there in a couple of weeks, but I'm going to bring a Cleveland championship out there with
me. Man, he is just feeling it. I'm going to go Cavs, too. I'm going to stay with that. J.R. Smith's been just absolutely awful in the NBA Finals. I think tonight's a big night for him.
It's time,
you know,
JR.
It's coming. The volcano's about to erupt. I think this will be the night and give the Cavs a chance to win this
season. I love it. I hope so.
It's going to be a closeout game one way or another. Hey, thanks, buddy, for making it easy on me this week.
Oh, thank you. It's been great working with you. And don't forget, we bark together in the Dog Pound Report. Have a great day, everybody.
See you tonight on News Channel 5 for our Cavs coverage before and after Game 5.